Welcome to Damn Good Content Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Claymall. From corporate world to entrepreneurship, I own a marketing agency, SCM, and I'm the founder of Damn Good Marketing Live. This podcast is all about digital marketing, cutting the fluff, and keeping it real with you. If you're ready, let's freaking get it. Hey guys, welcome back to Damn Good Content Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Claymall, and today I have one of my dearest friends, Jessica Bergio, here with me. We met actually at Lori Harder's event this past year in Scottsdale. It was so cute because I got a DM and we just connected ever since then. And I knew that what you have to offer, my audience would just absolutely love and admire. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, so fun. This is why I go to events, so I can meet cool people like you that I wouldn't normally meet anywhere else. You know what I mean?
No, and it's not weird at all for us to just slide into each other's DMs and be like, hey, what's up? Like, I want to chat with you, you know?
Yeah.
So I want you to just kind of dive into who you are. Give us a little backstory, who you are, how'd you get to where you are. You have a podcast, you are a co-founder of a bunch of different things. So like, can you just give us like who you are?
Yes. Serial entrepreneur, I guess, is now the title I wear proudly because I do love to do a lot of different things. I one day hope that like just angel investor will be my title because I do love getting my hands in other people's businesses. I love helping people bring ideas to life. I'm truly a visionary and like a creative integrator, not so much big visionary. That's kind of my strong suit. So I was a hairdresser for 22 years. I was in the beauty industry, loved it. It gave me a ton of freedom and a lot of creative like energy and play to explore who I wanted to become. And in the world of hairdressing, you literally can be somebody different every single day, which is such a beautiful thing. Different makeup, different hair, different outfits. I mean, literally. And then you're working with so many different types of people. I had probably 80% women and 20% men. It would go up, you know. So I got to work with a lot of different people. And in that, I was providing a service, right? But I also got to know them. Why? How are they living their life? You spend a couple hours with people, you learn a lot about them. And for some reason, that touch component really gets people to open up. And so I think over those years, I really developed a skill set of holding space for people, which I claim proudly. I feel like I'm a really good listener, space holder, makes me a good podcast host, also makes me a really good coach. So looking back, it makes sense now. But, you know, in hindsight, I didn't know this is where I would end up. Also was told to, you know, be quiet when I was little, not talk so much, don't ask so many questions, don't be so nosy. And now I'm a podcaster. So it served me well in my career as a hairdresser, in my career now as a coach, and also as a host of a podcast. It's all superpowers that I was told were not. So it's crazy now looking back. I'm 43. I have a 12-year-old son, and I wanted things to be a little bit different than they were for the first 15 years of my career, where I was trading time for money in the literal sense of in-person services. Yeah. I couldn't really travel for work. I couldn't do anything online, really. And when he got to be about 7 or 8 years old, I was like, this can't be as good as it's going to get. I have to change some things. So that's where the draw for creating an online business came from. I love in-person so much, but I also serve so many more people with the podcast being literally anywhere, and also with coaching being online. So I took the skill sets I had, the experiences I had, and parlayed them into a holistic life and business coaching kind of offer, if you will. And that's what I do now. That's how I get to show up. And it's really freaking cool because, you know, if you would have asked 17, 18-year-old me, I wouldn't have seen this coming. Yeah. I'm a projector in the human design, and we're always just kind of positioned as the guide, which when you're little and you know things, but you don't know how you know them, it comes off as like, you're a little know-it-all. You talk too much. You want to give people your two cents. But now when you're a little bit older and wiser, people respect your opinion. So it just, what I was meant to do now is landing. And it feels really good to be able to help people kind of get out of their own way, take action, and create some strategy around how they want to show up.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, wait, there's so many things I want to touch on because like so many things that you said was so good. And I think it'd be very valuable for my community. Number one, how was that moment? Because how was the moment leaving you being a hairdresser to pivot into this world? Like, you knew 1,010% how your income was coming in, how you were going to be financially secured and stable with the child. And, you know, making that leap of, well, now this is what I want to do. I feel it in my gut. This is something that I'm meant to do. What was that feeling like? Because a lot of people are just so scared to take that leap of faith. And I understand financials is a huge aspect, but what would be that piece of advice? And how did you feel going from point A to point B?
Well, definitely. You had to take into the season of life I was in. I couldn't just burn the boats and call it a day and just full-blown go into a new business. So it was a slow burn. It was a huge identity shift for me selling my business. I sold my salon that I had waited 15 years to open, but really shortly after opening, realized it wasn't where I was meant to be. Managing people isn't what I love to do. I love managing a dream and a vision, but like people, it's different. And so I felt once I opened the salon that it would give me that space to feel like I had taken it to the next level. And in fact, it felt actually like less of a step in the right direction, but I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't tried. And so I was able to sell that business for profit, and it gave me that opportunity to still work there while I was pursuing other things. So in the interim, I started community events for hairdressers, started the podcast when we were closed for COVID, and got offered a job with Chris Harder inside Fast Foundations, the mastermind, in order to have my first quote unquote coaching job, which didn't pay shit in the beginning, but it gave me all of the, you know, reps, if you will, gave me the confidence. I had a mentor believe in me, see something in me and include me, which I, again, is something I love. I love a good invitation into that. But yeah, walking away from a career that was pretty much built off of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of heart. I spent many hours building that business out there, you know, recruiting clients and really just like guerrilla marketing, if you will. We didn't have social media when I started. So I truly worked my ass off for what I had created. And so, yeah, it was difficult to kind of walk away, but I realized that I had built one dream to fruition and it was time to pursue something else. And so that gave me the opportunity to kind of rob Peter to pay Paul until the other one got going. Yeah. And that's what it's done. And now this business is, you know, surpassed what I used to do behind the chair with a lot less, I wouldn't say effort, but a lot less time for money in the sense of having to be in a physical space. Yeah. So yeah, it's just changed it up a bit, which I love it a lot.
Okay. I love what you said there. I want you to deep dive just a little bit more, because a lot of times what happens is, like you said a while ago, when you first started, social media wasn't a thing. Well, now social media is like obviously the forefront of everyone's life. And it's like coming at, it's weird because it's my job too. And also at the same time, it makes me want to pull my hair out all in one breath. But can you talk about the importance of working behind the scenes and grinding of what you want in a dream that you may be pursuing while still having like a part-time job, while still having other things that you have to do in order to make that leap of faith? Because right now I deal with this a lot, is there are people that are starting out, they get on social media and they're like, it didn't happen for me. And I'm like, you've literally been doing it for 2 minutes. So can you talk on how the facade of like social media can ruin what you have to do in order to build a successful business?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I went off, but I saw a post from a pretty well-known, I guess she's like a branding specialist. She had just sold her business for a lot of money. And she was going on and on in her podcast about, I wanted to hear about the sale and the acquisition and like kind of how that all kind of came to be. Yeah. Because the brand is really her, but she did create it to be kind of outside of her. But it's to me, it's known as her. And the way she broke it down, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, she was building it maybe to sell eventually, but she was now coming from this place of like, I don't resonate with that person anymore. I don't want to have the bright yellow blazer and I don't want to be the boss bitch energy anymore. And I want to be in this energy of flow and da da da. And we don't have to work like that. And hustle doesn't have to be. And I was like, how dare you give the story now as if you had a choice then? You have a choice now because you just sold your business for $1 bazillion.
Yeah.
Now you can drop into that energy of receiving and flow, but you went through many years of hustle, grind, late nights, probably not knowing if she was going to make it left or right. And she talks about those 10 years of building that business in order to scale it and sell it the way she did.
Yes.
But my perception, and if I was not versed in this world of entrepreneurship, I might hear that episode and think, oh, I just wait to receive and things just happen because I'm in flow and I don't have to hustle or wear the blazer or show up every day. It's just going to happen. And it got me so upset. I was at the gym and I remember distinctly being like, this lady, like I was mad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what is wrong with what's going on right now, is people just assume that they can try things on for size. They post two or three things. They start a podcast. They drop 10, 12, 15, 20 episodes and think, oh, it's not working. No one's downloading. Like, what? I'm not getting anything from doing this. And I'm like, if you got into business to just get, you should have just got a job, because you know what you're going to get with a job. If your whole goal for a job is to make money, okay, go make money. You can make money doing anything. anything. And for me, I proved to myself that hairdressing could be a real career when 22 years ago, I was told it was not.
Yeah. Right?
It wasn't a reputable career. It wasn't dependable. It was too up and down. And that was the case for a lot of people that worked beside me in the salons. They didn't have steady clientele. They didn't have a dependable income. But you know what they didn't have? Consistency. They didn't put the reps in. They wanted to give up before they actually gave it a go. They wanted people to just find them without becoming visible. They wanted clients, their dream clients, to find them, but they weren't willing to show up, put their hair and makeup together, go walk around the malls, pass out their cards, do all the things we had to do to get clients back then, right? I built my six-figure business in under 6 months when I was 21 years old.
Yes.
If I could do that, like anybody can do it now. You have to be hungry enough and your pain point has to be strong enough for you to keep taking the action till you get the results that you want. Ooh. And people just don't necessarily want to do the work. And I'm not trying to poo-poo on anybody because I don't want to do the work half the time either, guys. Don't get it twisted, right? The work is the work. And at the end of the day, your personal work is the work to keep you in the game. Because every day we're not going to be motivated. Every day I don't feel like going to the gym, but I know if I do it, my day is going to be 10 times better.
Yes.
Some days I feel like I want to go.
Yes.
Not every day though. Some days I want a podcast. Some days I don't. Some days I want to be a mom. Some days I don't. You know what I mean? So your energy ebbs and flows. And the sooner that you can understand that this is a long game, all of it, life is a long game, but you don't know how long it's going to go. So if you don't give it your all every single day, like how are you ever going to know what you're capable of? And for me, I'm not okay living a life that I didn't know I tried my hardest.
Yes. Like truly everything you said, I was like, we're in church because I'm like, get it, girl. Because like truly this is what happens is my everyday life is like people think that they could just show up. I have a dream literally and show up and like work on it for like a month, a week, a day and then say, oh, well, today I just don't feel like doing it. Well, no shit. A lot of us don't feel like doing it majority of the time. It's discipline. Exactly what you say. And you show up time after time after time of how big are your goals and are they bigger than how you feel in that moment? So like, yes, we can all try to feel great all the time. That's not going to happen when you're an entrepreneur. It's not going to happen when you're in business. And I love that you said, you know, you had to go stand in malls and pass out business cards. You had to go do this type of marketing. And now you have such easy access to marketing for your business and you refuse to use it because you can't get out of your own way. What would be, let's lead that into how do you coach people on just freaking getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And Lori said it perfect at Girlfriends of Business. You don't get used to it. No, you don't. It doesn't get easier. You just get used to it. Because truly, if you just put in the reps, you just get used to it. I still get nervous. I'm sure you still get nervous. So how do you go about giving advice in that kind of avenue of when they say, I want to do this, I want to show up on social, but I just can't because I can't get out of my own way.
Or when people make it a bigger deal than it is, like, oh, you know, something you even said in the beginning, sometimes I feel like pulling my hair out. Well, so does being a mom. So does going to the gym. Like I just rattled off all those other things that sometimes I don't want to do.
Yes.
And the sooner that you can embrace these different parts of your business as like a luxury that you get to do, then you will see them as like things that you can't not do. And right. So like what Lori said to her point of, it doesn't necessarily get easier. You just get more used to doing them. And you know, having hard conversations, you know, in order to get what you want is the way people get what they want. You know, it's hard to ask for a raise at a job. It's hard to show up and, you know, be a bigger, better version of yourself. It's hard to, you know, be diligent about keeping your hair and makeup on point if you represent your own personal brand. That's hard. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I do it because I desire to have a result that feels authentic to me. And the authentic version of me, she shows up for herself. She does what she says she's going to do. And even if the results aren't what I wanted them to be, I still know at the end of the day that 5 downloads on my podcast, 10 downloads on my podcast, 4 likes on my stories is more than I could get if I didn't show up. And if you really break numbers down, which, you know, math is the path and I am not a math girl, but this has helped me so much and maybe it'll help somebody listening. If you have 10 downloads on a podcast episode, could you even handle 10 new clients today?
Yes. Right? Oh my God. I love you for this. Go keep going.
So, well, we see this in the agency all the time. People get to episode like 10, 15, 20, and sometimes they're paying for production, which it's not cheap to have somebody produce your show and to take care of everything on the back end where you just show up and record and throw it in a file. It costs money, right? But they want to quit when they hit episode 20 because they don't see the direct ROI of what's happening. And I will tell you, as I approach episode 300, my downloads are nowhere near where I want them to be. But there is no way that I'm getting to 6 million without hitting 100,000 first.
Yes.
I will never get to 6 million if I don't get to 100,000 first. And the way you get to 100,000 is with your first 100. And so this is the part about how committed are you to your bigger vision? And that's why getting in rooms like we got into will help expand that vision, get you re-excited for it, get you connected with people like you and I chatting right now. Yes. So when you get off of this episode and you listen, you're like, she's right. Shit. I feel really called out. Or I know somebody who could really benefit from listening to this because they're stuck in victim mode. Like, why isn't this easier? Why am I not where I want to be? And trust when I tell you that people at my level, above me and beyond, come to me and say things like, I'm doing everything she's doing, whoever she is, right? Whoever they perceive as being further along or more successful than them, I get it all the time. But I'm doing that already. But I'm showing up like that already. But I've already put that much work in. How come I don't have that yet? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't have the answer. If you truly feel like you've done everything you can possibly do, maybe you're misaligned. Maybe your messaging is misaligned. Maybe you're trying too much to be like somebody else. And so that's sometimes a hard reality to face. But again, your journey and your results are going to look different than everybody else. But are you in fact maybe living in a dream you once had for your life? Because sometimes people don't even recognize that they're somewhere further along than they ever thought they could be. But because they're too busy focused on other people's success, that they don't even appreciate where they've gotten themselves.
Yes. Like, oh my God, I love this episode already. People are going to like either be like, I feel called out, I hate them, or I want to be their best friend. It's true. Yeah,
one of the two.
There's so much stuff in what you just said. I'm like, okay, where do I even start? What do I go to? Oh my God, okay. But I will say this, like I've heard over and over and over and over again, because I'm one at fault of saying like, oh my God, I want to get to X. I've definitely changed my perspective very recently of like, stop perceiving things that I want because other people have it and start perceiving it in like, this is what I prayed for. This is what I wanted. This, I am somewhere I, 2021 Shelby still in corporate would have never imagined me being in 2024. And so when I take a moment and pause and say, holy shit, look at what I've done. Look at what I built. Look at the steps I've taken, like even small steps of just showing up online, because that is frightening as shit. People are so scared to get in front of a camera and talk, which comes to my next point is, what do you think? And you talked about this a little bit because I want to talk about it even more, because like I went on a rant yesterday and I was just talking to one of my business coaches about this just now. And I was like, I don't care if I lose followers over this. I truly don't care. But if you don't start showing up authentically about who you are and yourself on social media in 2024 and beyond, then you can just hang it up now, because you trying to chase someone else's dream and be on their heels is not going to get you any closer to your dream that you want, because you're not doing it how you would want to do it anyway. You're trying to do it how they're doing it, and you're basing it on their success when you are a completely different person. So when I talk to people, we have an agency obviously too, for social media management, and we create these pieces of content and they're like, well, I don't like how I look. I don't like how this is a bad angle. I feel fat, blah, 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 all this stuff. What is your advice when it comes to showing up on freaking social media in 2024 and beyond about authenticity and about just ripping the freaking Band-Aid off and just showing up for the value of the consumer versus what you look like on camera?
That's a tricky question, and I wish it was easy to answer. And maybe in the heat of the moment, you felt like it was because you've now done the things to feel more authentically aligned. And a lot of people haven't. I think we don't get quiet enough to listen to who we really are and what we really have to say. We most of the time think we don't have enough to say. So we have to go learn more things so that we can sound smarter. We have to go take more classes, more courses, learn one more thing before we can turn around and teach that thing. Whereas if you just stood in a place of, what do I know? And can it help somebody? And is this maybe even business worthy? Like, am I solving a problem with my thoughts, with my experience? That you can come from a place of authenticity. The buzzword of being authentic, though, you, if you're listening, truly know if what you're saying and doing feels aligned. If it feels really forced, you're probably trying to do it like somebody else.
Yep.
But I will say that mirroring the success of other people, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with seeing how somebody got where they are and trying to follow in their footsteps in a way, because, you know, success leaves clues. And so if we can follow those clues, there's a framework laid out for us. What you do with that framework needs to be your own so that you stand out in this noisy ass market, which we call social media and business and life right now. So somewhere in there, you have some unique special sauce.
Yes.
That may be similar to somebody else, okay? It may be similar. Maybe you're funny. Maybe you're educational. Maybe you're witty. Maybe you're a smartass. Maybe you're a straight shooter like we are. Whatever that looks like, you have to own that and be okay with people judging you, liking it or loving it, hating it or making fun of it, all the things. And what I think the problem is, a lot of people aren't ready for that. Yeah. And so when they start to put themselves out there in an authentic way, it may not get the expected results, right? Like, I got really vulnerable, but nobody connected with me. I asked people for feedback and nobody responded. I put out a few episodes and nobody told me they liked it. We're used to validation in business. If you've ever worked corporate, you get validation one way or the other. Right. That sucked, or do more of that, right? It either comes in a promotion or you're getting fired or demoted. Like, it's very black and white. In corporate, you have a checklist of tasks that is your job description and role. And if you don't stick to it and excel at it, you will be removed.
Right.
Whereas in entrepreneurship, you can literally toe dip into everything and being like, I did everything. You're like, did you?
Yeah.
You did? Okay. At what level did you do it? Did you do it at the level that was going to get you massive results? Or did you do it at the, I just checked the box level?
Yes.
Because there's a huge difference. And again, find yourself in the story, and please don't feel like anyone's attacking you if you're listening, because this is just the hard truth of what it takes to grow that resilience muscle, that resourcefulness, in order to figure out, okay, I did it like her. It doesn't seem to be working for me. What could I do differently to show up for myself so that what I'm really trying to say and do lands differently?
Yeah.
It's getting honest with yourself and taking a hard look of like, okay, if it didn't work, like how can I make it work?
Right.
And then that'll differentiate like how bad you really want something, I think.
If you're ready to break through that small town mentality and take your business, brand, or corporate jobs to the next level, then Damn Good Marketing Live 2024 is for you. Now picture yourself surrounded by a community of like-minded individuals, all hungry for growth and success. DGML is your gateway to unparalleled networking opportunities and invaluable insights from industry experts. If you're ready to move that needle in your business and embrace a transformative experience, then I invite you to join us at DGML this year. Trust me, I've been in your shoes searching for that missing piece. And now I'm bringing it back to Louisiana because I know firsthand the power of putting yourself in the room. Because once you do, you'll be amazed by the transformation. So don't miss out. Secure your spot to Damn Good Marketing Live 2024. Check the link below in the description and let us know if you have any questions. Yeah, I it's just like living. I don't know what it was recently. I don't know. I just started reading probably something. I mean, everybody that follows me knows that this is something I just shamefully admit, because I should have been reading a long time ago, but it just wasn't my jam. I gave up social over Lent at 8 o'clock. I don't touch my phone for like social media, and which honestly, it's unlocked like a whole new part of my brain that I didn't even know existed. And then I started reading, and I read one book, it's finished. And then now I'm on to Worthy with Jamie Lima. And she just breaks it down so simply that we know. And I was explaining this earlier, of like, you touched on this way earlier when you said I was a child and I talked a lot and they told me to hush and stop talking and stop asking so many questions, stop doing this stuff. What it starts with us as kids, where we feel excited. We don't necessarily look towards anyone, I guess maybe our parents, for approval, but it's just like, we're so excited. We just say things, we blurt it out. We're excited about everything that we know, and they just talk. And even when it's right or wrong, like, I think it's just so precious. You have a little boy. I mean, I have two little boys. It's like, we understand that. And as we grow, she explains, like, as you grow up, you were little and you were like, first raise your hand. I know the answer. I want to answer. But as you grow up, your hand slowly goes down and you slowly creep in your seat because you're scared of the approval of others and what to say and what not to do. And I think that social media has heightened that to a whole new level. So it's definitely bringing the inner child out of us, maybe what has refrained us when we were younger and what's molded us and how we are and how we show up today versus what we're actually going to do to put in the work. So I think that like there's a fine line between where we want to go and how we're going to get there when it comes to social media, because of the filters and the picture perfect stuff that people are showing up, and they're showing you what they want you to see, and trying to get people to understand that of like, this is just a preview of Jessica's life. Like, you don't necessarily know everything that's going on in her life, or this is a preview of Shelby's life. I'm being vulnerable and I'm being personable and I'm being here and I'm showing up as I am, but it's just a small fraction. So I think when people go to build their business online and show up authentic to themselves, because that is an overused word, especially online, I'm being authentic, but truly, are you being authentically yourself? And are you allowing other people to see who you are as a human being and being okay with them saying, I love you, I like you, or I don't like you, and they're going to judge you? Because no matter what, people will judge you for showing up or not showing up. So really, this conversation has gotten me really excited. And I think that like you're way more, don't take this the wrong way, knowledgeable than like the 5 minute conversation or 10 minute conversation that we had in Scottsdale. And I like literally want you to just continue to talk on the power of just walking in your purpose and your authenticity and like putting in the freaking work, not like the lady in the yellow jacket that sold her business and is like, I'm now zen with life. You know, you have to hustle. You know, you have to work. You knew how many people butts you had to put in a chair to make this much money. And now you know how much to do because time is money. And I just love listening to you speak on just showing the hell up and doing it for you and making sure you're aligned with what you are and who you are and how you're going to help other people. And I guess like my next point of this would be, what would be your advice on people doing the work in order to feel like they are aligned in what they're doing? Like instead of just showing up on social and saying, all these people that I follow and I envy and I want to be, they're making it look really easy. Now I want to make sure I'm aligned. How would you advise someone to make sure that they're aligned in order to reach that point?
First, I'd tell you to mute anybody that makes you feel like that on social media. You don't have to unfollow them, just mute them. If yes! they're not serving you anymore and they're making you feel less than, mute them. And I've had to mute some of my favorite people
yes.
because I knew ultimately that I was comparing my step 5 to their step 50. And there's no way I would ever catch up, ever. Yes. If I was to compare myself to Lori Harder, I will never catch up to her episodes unless she stops right now and then I have a couple years to catch up. She's at episode like – she's a well over like 1,100 episodes. I'm not even at 300 episodes yet. So how could I ever compare my results now to her results now? Like how shitty would that feel? And it does feel shitty when I accidentally do it.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, okay, if your daily influence is making you feel some type of way and it's stealing yes. all the joy of the success you're having right now, which is quite a bit, what is the purpose of that? And her husband, Chris Harder, speaks a lot to ingesting only positive propaganda. So if you are following people that make you feel like you can't ever keep up, catch up, or you know, compete with, you should definitely unfollow them or mute them for now. Because I promise you, when you start to create more than you consume, you won't have time to be comparing yourself. You should already have a mission and a vision for your life. Maybe not your business yet, maybe not your business plan, maybe not your strategy, but you should have a mission and a vision for your life. How do I want to feel every day? How do I want to show up? What feels like me? Lean into those because you intuitively already know.
Yeah.
And once I started to get quiet, as a talker, that's hard. As someone who likes to talk and talk and talk and talk, don't get me coffee. Like I'll talk all day because I have lived 43 years. I've been talked at, I've been talked to, I've been talked through, I've been ignored. I've like all the things. And so I literally can find something to say about anything. But what I've learned is I learn way more if I just shut the hell up.
Yes.
And so if you need to go into a season of quiet, you should. That's where journaling and reading can help really spark creativity inside of you so that you can start to connect with things that mean something to you. And when you start to connect with things that mean something to you, that's where you can pull authenticity from. That's why I journal in the mornings or I read. One of the two. Depends. If I've got something to get out, journal. If I feel like I'm having a lack of inspiration or creativity, I read. I always have like 4 or 5 books out. However I'm feeling in the morning, whatever seems to be missing, the book just finds me. I read a couple paragraphs. I maybe read a sentence. I don't put any expectations on myself. I get what I need or the time's up and I keep on with my day. And then there's just those daily habits that help me stay connected to who I am. I go and I do yoga at least twice a week. I do my own workouts. I do my own meditations. I go for walks, even when I don't want to, because that's how I can connect back to my own voice. Because it's so hard to shut the world out. It's so hard to like quiet the noise externally. Then we have to quiet the noise internally. And it's like so many layers to it. So I had a client one time, I didn't mean to, but I made her cry the first like consult call that we had because she was lightweight bragging about how she reads 60 books a year. She listens to like multiple podcasts a week and she was getting ready to write her first book and all of these things she wanted to create for herself.
Yeah.
But she was so overwhelmed and all this stuff. And I said, how can you even think for yourself? All you're doing is ingesting other people's stuff. At this point, if you've been on that road for a minute, you could take a break. You've taken in so much information.
Yes.
Your thoughts are no longer yours. And honestly, at the end of the day, like everything we think, everything we've experienced was already done for us, before us, right? Like we've just picked up someone else's experience or idea. Someone said, oh, don't do that because this will happen. You didn't experience it, but you just told that. So it's like, every business has been created. Every thought's already almost been thought. Like, I don't know. I always just think like, I'm just thinking a thought someone else already thought. Like, either let it just be in and come in and out. And that's why meditation is such a beautiful practice, because your thoughts never leave you. And if you can just envision thoughts and feelings like little fluffy clouds, they come and they go, and you say, hello, cloud. And then the cloud keeps moving, right? Like, you don't sit in that cloud and be like, oh, I want to just like, oh, stay here. But that's what feelings do. When they feel really good, we want to stay there. And when they feel bad, we want to get out of there as fast as we can. But it doesn't work that way. And so, you know, being able to stop comparing myself has been the biggest blessing and gift. And it's opened up so much for me. And, you know, financially and with my mastermind that kicked off this year and the way the podcast is going, the direct result was more money in my business, more peace in my heart, like more clarity and more of what I ultimately wanted, which is why I got into being a full-blown entrepreneur and away from the beauty industry, was more time connected to my son and my family.
Yes.
There are still days where like, I'm like, I should be doing more. I didn't do 8 podcasts today. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And it f***ed with you. It f***ed with you because when you're an entrepreneur, you can literally work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always more you can be doing. There's always more marketing you can be doing, more people you could connect with, more podcasts you could be doing, more. And so ultimately, like, I did a whole live the other day about consistency. And I was like, you have to check yourself. Like, what is my season of life right now? What is my ultimate deepest desire to feel? Is it to feel overwhelmed and overbooked and like just spread so thin that I have nothing left to give? No. Like, I want to create pockets of like, oh my God, I could literally do nothing right now, but I choose to read a book or go for a walk or literally do nothing, whatever I want. Yeah. Like, that's how I want to design my days, to where when I'm with my son, I'm not feeling like I need to check my phone, or when I'm on date night, I can document, take a cute selfie with my partner, and then we put our phones away and we can just stare at each other and not talk if we want. It is being discerning about what you want, how you want to feel living your life. Again, you could be best friends with somebody who wants no downtime, who wants no chill, who wants to go, go, go. So if you are looking at them and then comparing you, you're going to feel lazy. You're going to feel like you don't get shit done. They're not meaning to make you feel like that. That's just how they roll. And so that's why learning about who you are through, you know, tools like the Enneagram and human design, you can learn more about how you're meant to make decisions, process information, show up in life. You know, it's really fascinating when you kind of like learn more about who you are and you're like, cool, like I like this version of me and this is how I want to feel and I'm going to protect it at all costs.
Yeah, I love that, because I'll say what you said literally to kick off what you just said is it's okay to mute people. It's okay to unfollow. Like, you obviously didn't, but I say the same thing. It's okay to unfollow them. It's nothing against those people. It's their triggering something in you that is not healthy mentally for you at all. So it is okay. So I started doing that in January and I've seen like a huge difference, because what you said a while ago too, I was consuming so much. My job is social media. Like, we help people with their social media and brand awareness for their businesses. So I'm on social media all the time. So we consume way more than probably we should ever for like the rest of my life. I could quit today. But I had to create these boundaries of what I didn't need to see. And it's not because I don't like you. It's because I can't see your stuff and I have to put me first. And there was a lot of work that I've had to do in 2024, and I'll be the first to say it, I was a shit show at the end of 2023. And so as 2024 has come, I feel like there's like a whole new thing that's just been unlocked, where I've muted people and it's okay. And I've cut people out of my life that suck certain energy. And I've started to read. I've put my phone away. I got another phone. Like, only certain people have that access to me all the time. And they respect my boundaries. And I also read, because I'm reading Trent's book and Jamie's book at the same time, because like you said, I can't really choose which one. And he said something so powerful, and I'm going to screw it up, but it made so much freaking sense. And it was like, when you start setting boundaries for yourself, people will respect you more. Because if you are too accessible to someone, they're going to run over you. But the moment you set boundaries, people envy people with boundaries, because that's respectable of your time. And the moment I started doing this before I read his book. Actually, it was after Keisha's event when I heard him speak. But I started saying no. And I started saying, you don't have access to me at this time. I turn this off. This isn't in your contract. I'm going to terminate this contract. I'm going to do all these things that don't feel aligned with me and my business and where we're going. And Jess, when I did that, I was like, holy shit. I feel like a weight has been lifted, because I'm a professional people pleaser. So of course I set no boundaries. And so this has all been something fairly new. So anybody listening to this podcast, It is okay to set boundaries. It is okay to mute people. It is okay to unfollow people. It is okay to be an entrepreneur and not work 24/7, even though when you quit corporate and you become an entrepreneur, you work 24/7. Like, you get to set your own boundaries to fulfill the goals that you have set for yourself, not for anyone else, but for you. You want more family time? Okay, grind from a certain time to a certain time. So, like, there's just so much. I think, like, it was a great conversation for us to have today because it was well needed, because you obviously just went on a rant. I obviously just went on a rant because the perception social media gives everyone of, like, the ease of building a business online is bullshit. The ease of showing up as perfection is bullshit. Like, stop being someone you're not and start showing up for who you are and build the connections based on that and being human. Because if I was very honest, I would never approach someone that seemed perfect, because that is intimidation to me. Like, I feel intimidated by that person. So when you're listening to this, you hear me talk, you hear Jess talk. When you think about approaching someone, whether that's on social media or in real life, do you approach the person that seems like they have it all put together and perfect and just isn't approachable because you are intimidated? Or would you rather connect with someone on a level of being human? Like, they're showing up consistently with discipline, whether they feel like it or they don't. They share, they pull back that curtain just a little bit more for us to see just a little bit what it's like to build a business or be a mom and run a business, because those two things are, like, the hardest thing in life that you could possibly do, but you have to learn how to do that. And so I just love that this conversation is where this went today. So thank you.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because even if you are thinking someone's perfect, if you spend a little time in their world, if you can get around them, you'll quickly see that they're not. Yeah. And if you are finding only the perfect parts of them, then you're not being really real with yourself, because in order for someone to do the work, whether it's someone like Lori, she's a great example. People a lot of times say she's intimidating and she comes off as perfect, but she does a really good job humanizing herself by showing up on social media and sharing the behind the scenes of how difficult things have been in the last couple of years with building her multiple businesses and doing what she does. At the end of the day, does she still have an amazing life? Yes. At the end of the day, did she work her ass off to get what she has? Yes. And so, you know, by me still investing and going into the rooms with Chris and Lori and people like that, they share, you know, it's still a grind. They still are putting the work in to get the results that they want. They're just taking it to the next level and then the next level. And it's like, all dependent on what you want. So don't be fooled to think you have to want what other people have if it's not truly what you want. Then you'll find yourself in a season of burnout, overwhelm, and just plain straight up resistance. But the work in entrepreneurship, you're going to hit resistance. You're going to hit things that feel challenging and hard. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't keep pushing through and go for it. It means that you should really, like, the universe is just testing you. How bad do you want it? Yeah. How bad do you want it? And how much are you willing to work for it? Because you can perceive work as hard, or you can perceive work as, like, I'm so grateful I have something to work towards or for. Because at the end of the day, that's what gives us purpose, is like that sense of accomplishment, that sense of, like, I did the damn thing even though it was really hard. Or, you know, we have to know, you know, light to know dark. And so, again, if you have a perception that somebody is perfect, I ask you to question yourself on that too, of like, are they? They're still human. They still have to eat and sleep and do all the other things. And, you know, they have to, like, figure it out. And so at the end of the day, when you can get to know people's stories and you can allow yourself to humanize someone you've put on a pedestal, it'll help you get through. And maybe that is the person you need to lean into and go be around, because then you'll see they're not. Yeah. And it'll help you understand that you have more value than you think you do. You just put them on a pedestal, which then put you lower down.
Yes, that is actually makes so much sense. I love that. Okay, so a while ago, last question for you, though, because I really, you've said it twice in this episode, so I definitely want to hone in on it, or maybe three. But you talk about putting yourself in the room. What, tell me the importance, because I didn't really understand this until last year, so I'm about to be year three in May, and I didn't really understand it, investing in myself and putting myself in the room and, like, really being intentional by putting myself in the room. Like, you can't just show up. You got to, like, do something. What is the importance of putting yourself in the damn room?
It's kind of what I just said. You'll start to see yourself at the same level of these people that you think have it all figured out. You know, the first mastermind I joined, I assumed everybody had a successful online business but me. I assumed that everybody was smarter than me because they already had maybe an online business and I didn't have one yet. And what I quickly realized was that my experience was just different. And what I had to offer was just different. And the way I was going to present my stuff was different. And that a lot of them didn't have their shit figured out, and that they were making it look good, but they maybe had some luck in the early stages of their business because they had a kind of a warm market. But they didn't know what they did to get there, so they couldn't replicate it. So their second launches were failing, or they weren't bringing in consistent income. And I came from a guerrilla marketing business. So I was like, you guys just ain't putting yourself out there. Yeah. And Chris talks a lot about creating visibility. So the more visible you can get by getting in these rooms, the bigger your network is going to be. And believe you me, like, my network is my net worth. Because I know certain people, I can get into certain rooms. I get invitations to things. I get opportunities to speak. I get a chance to be on people's podcasts, which is another form of speaking, right? So the more visible you can make yourself, which I think is a direct like ROI of getting in these rooms. And again, to your point, I can't just show up and hope that people will just come to me and know who I am and want to connect with me. If there's 75 people in a room, you got to work the room. Yeah. We're back to that guerrilla marketing again. You got to go introduce yourself. You got to say, hey, what's up? Like opportunities at Girlfriends in Business, it is a true networking event. So everybody stood up. If you guys don't know what it is, we all stand up. We get about 30 seconds to introduce ourselves, say who we are, what we do, and kind of what we need and why we're there in that room. It's full permission to like kind of take notes of like, oh, she seems cool. She connected. I like her outfit. Oh, I need that help in my business. Oh, maybe she could be a future client of mine. So it's your chance to really connect with the people in the room. And then you got to go say hi. And then you got to follow up with a call or a DM. And then you actually got to schedule the podcast. Like that was a few months ago.
Yeah.
So it takes effort. And this is what we mean about like there's never ending things you can do to grow your business. So back to the very first things we talked about of like, are you actually doing all of the things that you think she's doing? And is that why maybe you're not where you want to be? You're like, well, I went to the events. I was in that mastermind. I did those things. But did you do everything you possibly could to get that connection? I have had to ask multiple times to be on my show. I have two people in the queue right now that I want to do events with, and they've said yes, but I haven't got a follow-up. Like I've tried to follow up a couple times, and like I could easily let my ego and pride get in the way and be like, oh, they don't want to do it. That's why they're not like getting back to me.
Yeah.
Oh, they just said yes because they felt obligated. They don't really want to do it with me. That's why I haven't heard from them. No, they're busy. They're probably just busy, and like a lot of people want something from them. Like if someone's further ahead than you and you're trying to get their attention, getting in their room is the quickest way to do it. Buying a ticket to their event, investing in their mastermind, buying their book, sharing their shit on social media, like engaging in their content over and over and over and over again will get you, you know, some eyes on you. Like, oh, that's a supporter. That's a fan. That's like somebody in my community. You got to put some skin in the game if you ever want something back in return. And as you start to progress in your entrepreneurial journey, like that, you will then become them to somebody else.
Yes.
And the journey continues. So, you know, I share all that because I feel like we say get in the room. People don't really know what that means. Like I have a whole series on my podcast of like different episodes where I talk about this because, and I share stories of how getting in one room got me into the next, or investing in this day got me like an invitation to a $10,000 mastermind that I didn't have to pay for. So it's all relative to how you see things and what you consider ROI, like your return on investment. But I feel like it always looks different than I think it's going to. And I'm just here for that. Like it took me 5 solid years pivoting from in-person brick and mortar to where I'm at now. That first mastermind I joined was in like February of 2019. We're now in the middle of 2024. So it's taken a minute, you know what I mean? And I had to stay doing hair for a while in order to fund my dream of my new business and get it going. But I share all that because it's not overnight. And if you look at even just my online business, 5 years is short, but there was really 10 years of growth before that when I first started going to Lori's events and doing stuff like that. So, you know, if you look back, it's really been 15 years.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that perspective too, because if you don't, because there is a huge difference with putting yourself in the room. Like you could go to an event and sit in the corner, or you can go to the event and be like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to walk away with 5 new contacts of how can I help you? How can you help me? And like, literally, it's going to sound so crazy, but I started doing this. Keisha's event, I did Jasmine's obviously mastermind last year, but then Keisha's event this past year was huge. I mean, that got me the connection with Keisha and got me in a connection with Trent. Trent's now speaking at my event in October. Keisha's coming in to speak at my event in October. They would not have known I existed in the world if I would not have put myself in the room and got in front of them at their VIP night where I just wanted to take a picture and say, thank you for being amazing. Like you touched me, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And I shot my shot. I was literally like, would you be willing to X? And right at that point, it was just be on my podcast. It wasn't even whatever. And they could have said no, but I shot my shot. And that's the thing. Like people don't want to take that risk or invest in themselves because it's either A, you don't trust yourself in order to follow through. Because like Jess said, people get busy. And I'm still in the works of booking podcasts with people from girlfriends of business and doing all that. We're all busy. But if you understand and you go into a room with intention and say, I want to get something out of it, that is your ROI. I got a client from Keisha's event. I would have never thought I would have gotten a Louisiana client from a Denver event. And I did. And then the same thing with Girlfriends of Business. I got another client this week from Girlfriends of Business because she heard I owned a social media marketing agency. She would have never known that if I did not put myself in the room. I would never be talking to Jessica right now on this podcast and interviewing her for y'all to hear about her and how she can help you and all the things if I wouldn't have put myself in the room at these events. If you don't put yourself in the room and you aren't willing to ask for what you need in order to get you from A to B, then don't expect to get from A to B by yourself. Because you cannot do that. And I love what you said. My net worth is my network. How'd you say that?
My network is literally my net worth. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's all about who you know and who you are actually putting yourself in the room with. What relationships are you building? What are you asking for? What are you doing to get their attention? Get on social media, get on their DMs, actually go binge their podcast, go do whatever it takes. Like, that's how you get noticed to get yourself in the room, like Jess was saying. Getting invites only to masterminds are goal. Like, that's huge. So, like, doing what you need to do in order to get where you want to get or where you know you can get, you have to get uncomfortable. It's not just getting uncomfortable putting your face on social media. It's what do you have to do in order to meet the goals that you want in your business that you want and the life you want to build. So
yeah. And honestly, like if this feels like it's a little direct, it is. And it's kind of refreshing to have this conversation because there was a point where I remember Lori put out a podcast episode about entrepreneurship. And she said, if you keep feeling like this is really hard, then it's probably too hard for you. And maybe you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. And that's okay. Like, it's okay if you thought this was going to be some pipe dream and it was going to be a lot easier than maybe what you've done before in the past. But amazing visionaries and businesses need employees. They need people who are trustworthy, who can actually take action and get shit done. A lot of entrepreneurs are big thinker, creative visionaries, and they need integrators. And I have one of the best integrators in the world right now. She is a generator. And without her, like, I could not do what I do. My partner in the agency is an integrator, and she gets shit done. I have a visionary as a coach and a business person to help me dream really big and create strategy. So I invest in a lot of people to help me with what I am doing. I know that I cannot do this alone. And there were many times when I tried to do it alone that I knew, I'm like, if you want to roll solo, you best to go back to the chair because you could just stay in your bubble there. And everybody in my life would have been happier if I stayed. All 200 of my clients, my whole family, like everybody, they wanted that version of Jessica that was like consistent, who did their hair, who was the people pleaser, who would come over and do hair and makeup for an event if they had it on the weekend at 6 a.m. Like, I disappointed everybody and then pushed through resistance and then didn't quit even when I wanted to 50 million times to get here. So if you're ready for that ride, man, like there are people like us, like this is what I do. I coach people through this. And I think it comes from my years of playing sports, my years of being super competitive and just knowing, like, I know that they didn't get where they're at by quitting. And so if anybody needs help with accountability, like that is my specialty. You will get a dose of what you heard here, but you know, I keep it real on my podcast too. It's called Unscripted. And this is where we have these harder conversations of just, listen, it's, if you're feeling the feels, yo, you're normal. So are we.
I think that a lot of times people just think entrepreneurship is a walk in the park. I mean, let's be real though. I come from a line of entrepreneurship, and I will say, like, I knew it was hard because we would like be with them at 2 a.m. when they were like, they have a screen print shop and embroidery, like small mom pop shop, but we'd be there sleeping on bing bag chairs while they were doing what they needed to do at like 2 a.m. But when you're that little, you're just like, what are we doing here? You know, but like, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard day in and day out, but damn, there's not a book. There's not a human. There's not anyone that can really paint. Well, to me, maybe to you, maybe I just haven't met them yet. Paint the actual picture of how hard as hell this shit is. But the thing is, if you feel it, exactly what Jess just said, if you feel it in your heart that you want to get up every single time you're knocked down, it could be day after day after day, then you're meant to be an entrepreneur. But if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. I think even if you try to be an entrepreneur and you say, this isn't for me, you're not failing. You're just recognizing the person that you are and that you're built to be an integrator for someone that wants to be an entrepreneur and that can be an entrepreneur. You get to choose what you want to do. So don't think it's
totally. And my partner, he's worked for a really well-known firm for like 25 years, and he loves to manage people. You know, whereas I opened my salon and realized I didn't want to manage people. And so he's so good at what he does that so many people would be without his leadership, without his people skills and his management and his patience. But yeah. He is an employee. He has a salaried job, which he loves. He loves to know exactly how much money he's going to make. He loves working for bonuses. Like, he loves checking things off a list. He loves knowing that, like, someone is telling him what exactly he needs to get done. And so he works really well in that type of an arena. And he makes 10 times more than I do. So there's like a place for everybody right now. And so I feel like I don't want to poo-poo on someone's entrepreneurship dreams, but maybe somebody needed to listen to this to know, like, hey, maybe this all feels really hard because it's not what I'm meant to be doing. Yeah. And I honestly felt called out for a hot second when I listened to that podcast. And then I was like, oh my God, like, I can quit. Lori said I could. And then when I went down that path in my mind of what it would look like to go back to my old life, which was really great. And so it wasn't like I was going back to anything terrible. I was like, no, that chapter's closed. I really want to see what I'm made of. And I'm ready for the challenge because I know that through challenges, like, I'm going to grow into such an amazing new version of myself. And I can't wait to meet her. So that was enough for me to, like, stay in the game. It was like a permission call out kind of slip, and I chose the latter, and here I am. So, you know, I think it's good to assess where you're at in different seasons of your life. Like, you can't burn the boat sometimes and quit your job, right? But can you start a side hustle? Can you start a podcast on the side, sharing your thoughts and ideas to get some visibility so that when you do, or if and when you do want to take your side hustle seriously, that you don't happen to fall upon what I did, which was I just all of a sudden wanted to be a coach, but nobody knew me as that. I hadn't created awareness that I even existed. I hadn't created any platform for people to get to know me. And so that's why I started the podcast, because I was like, that feels like a safe place where I can share who I am. Started showing up more on stories, started posting stuff. Nobody liked it. Nobody commented for the longest time until finally they did. And now, you know, my Instagram's grown to 10,000 followers organically. The podcast is doing well, but it takes time. So just settle in. Put your seatbelt on and just stay in the game if that's what you needed to hear.
I love this because I'm no bullshit girl. I don't know if you've noticed yet. But I literally have no fluff. I'm just like, either you do the damn thing, you put in the work, you grind, I don't have time for your excuses, or carry yourself somewhere else. I'm kidding. Maybe not that harsh, but I have a little fluff in there. But I love this conversation. So, like, if you listen to this, definitely go follow Jess, go subscribe. Because if you love my boldness, you will love her boldness. Get in her community. Get in her DMs. Have a conversation. Like, we're all human. We want I want conversation. I know she probably wants conversation. We're all here for you. If you have questions, just reach out. But thank you so much for being here today. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. So fun. I love getting raw and real. It's good. It's good for the soul.
So where can everybody find you? Do you have a freebie? What do you want to tell my people? Go for it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I love Instagram. So whether you're not, you have a love hate with it, come hang out with me on Instagram, say what's up. And then I do have a text community that I'm growing because I love to remind you every Friday to celebrate your wins, because we often don't do that. If we're stuck in the grind and we're just trying to chase the next thing, we are not stopping to appreciate what we actually are getting done. Yeah. So I send out my text list of a little message every Friday. So maybe I can give you that number. People can jump into the text community. Yeah. And it's just a really fun way to stay connected because sometimes things get lost in email. Obviously I have the podcast called Unscripted. You can find it on Apple or Spotify. That's where I drop two episodes a week. One's a guest every Tuesday, and Fridays we do a Friday solo where I kind of just keep it raw and real like this. That's where the Friday comes from with the texting. I always just want to remind you of your greatness. And then we have a Media Unscripted is our agency where we help people launch, scale, and grow their podcast. So if you're like, well, I can do what these girls are doing. Like, I have friends. I got people I want to get to know. It's a great way to bring people into your world to build your network in order to get you in front of more people or get you access to people you wouldn't otherwise get an hour of their time. So I highly recommend if you have an inkling about a podcast, just hit me up and I can talk you through. But remember, it's a long game. But yeah, that's how you can get a hold of me and be a part of my world.
Oh, awesome. Okay, everyone, go do that. I'm actually going to put in the show notes too. So if you didn't hear that part and you don't want to rewind, don't worry, we got you. Well, thank you so much for being here. Guys, until next time, make sure you go like, comment, subscribe, and share. Until next time, let's freaking get it. And that's a wrap on another episode of Damn Good Content Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like, share, comment, leave us a review. And until next week, let's freaking get it.